Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for a daily editorial for this Tuesday, the 15th of February. Hope you guys had a nice weekend. I guess what I started to say is I hope you guys had a nice Valentine's Day. That still is kind of an emotional holiday for many of us. Having said that, we have Hillary Clinton, who's going to be giving a speech to the Democratic Convention in New York at some point this week, very soon. Jimmy, what's the status on Hillary right now? It looks like Durham could make her look pretty bad.
Yeah, there's no question. There's way too much information now. There was a lot of factual information that's been out over the last 4 years about the fraud right. and the Russia hoax. But what we have now is actual litigation and information coming from the special prosecutor, John Durham,
right.
that specifically outlines what happened. So I think Hillary Clinton's in a very difficult position. But more importantly, as we talked about before, the polling, just people just don't like her. The problem for the Democratic Party is they have very few people that have that kind of notoriety right now. And they're in trouble. They're in serious trouble.
Well, the interesting point about the Democratic Party, I feel the Democratic Party is in trouble. Biden's
yes.
got terrible ratings. Nobody particularly likes Harris. What are they going to do?
Yeah, so, you know, they're scrambling right now. They've been, you know, doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on kind of woke policies.
Right.
And they've been doing what they can to prop up with media and corporate support, Joe Biden and, of course, Kamala Harris.
Uh-huh.
And what that shows is actually, you know, a pretty disturbing trend in free media in the U.S. And of course, you know, it relates back to what's happening in Canada and Australia, Austria, Europe, all over the place, where big corporate tech and media companies are doing what they can to protect their payoffs into people that have bought into this kind of globalist ideology
right.
that everything needs to be open. And what the Democratic Party has done is they kind of absorbed that corruption that basically was kind of held by Republicans in the past. But now they're alienating themselves from the average person because they're split between, you know, these social, absolutely ridiculous social policies like defunding the police or, gender studies and, you know, gender identity. All those things are really creating a backlash, not including, and probably the most important thing is the continued lockdowns, the face mandates for kids in these democratic states. All these things are coming together to really show people out there what the Democrats are all about. And I think they're really embarrassed and struggling and, you know, trying to figure out how to salvage this. And you're right, there's very few people out there with the notoriety or with the, you know, with the view to be able to step up and do the right thing. I think Tulsi Gabbard would be a great option for the Democrats if they want to gain back some credibility, but it's not going to happen.
Now, I agree with you about Tulsi Gabbard, but let me ask you, why are you so set in your ways about it's not going to happen?
Because they hate her. The Democratic Party hates her. And the reason why they hate her is because she was actually one of the co-chairs of the Democratic National Committee 2015-2016 in the Clinton Sanders race. And she was a Bernie Sanders supporter, and she realized that the Democratic Party was actually completely cheating the system in order to give Bernie, you know, to keep him out. Bernie was a staged participant from the beginning. We've talked about this long ago. He was septuagenarian, you know, this 70-something-year-old guy that's a socialist. They never thought he would get the popularity. What they didn't realize is they inspired a lot of people to step up against the corruption inside D.C. And when they did that, they opened up this can of worms to let the AOCs and the other very progressive candidates come in, and they believed that that was the momentum for the party. And that mistake – has separated them from the average American family and the average American Democratic voter that, you know, had been a Democrat for their whole lives because they were in the union or they, you know, they just thought that that was, they were told that that was the party that took care of people. And what it's proven is, no, they want to change, socially change America, economically change America. They want to belittle America, and they want to take away your security, your border, your economic freedom. And with that, they've created a monster that they can't stop, and it's actually tearing them apart. And I don't see how they can pull it back together. I do not see how they're going to get enough support for a moderate candidate. Joe Biden was supposed to be that moderate candidate, and it turned out to be a lie because he's just a puppet for the ideologues in the Democratic Party.
Well, I have to say one thing. I made a comment after his press conference that went on for 2 hours. I was pretty impressed with the way that he handled that press conference, all things considered. And my comment at the time, I remember this very specifically, was if he does what he says he's going to do, he could pull out of this mire that he's in. But he's not doing at all what he said he was going to do, not even close.
Well, and we disagreed a little bit on some of the things he said in the press conference. You know, I think he was not setting the stage for a better America. He was pretending. Someone wrote some words that, you know, he tried to repeat up there. And the reality was he's still not competent. And I will just reiterate this over and over again. Joe Biden is not going to become more mentally aware. He is going to continue to diminish.
Okay.
He's not going to make better decisions because he's just older.
Right.
He doesn't have a staff. They're going to be right now. Jake Sullivan, one of his key, you know, the national security advisor who's, you know, managing the fiasco in Afghanistan and the craziness in Ukraine, the Iranian deal. That guy is under intense pressure because of the words that he said as a member of the Clinton campaign in 2016, setting up this entire narrative. He's probably in some legal jeopardy, as well as Mark Elias, one of the key Democratic lawyers out there, and clearly the indictments for Sussman and some of the other people that will actually come out of more information,
right,
if there's any justice in America.
Right. Right, I agree 100%. Okay, so we agree at this moment in time that the Democrats don't really seem to have an option. Let's go to the Republican side of the ticket. Who do you like?
Well, I've said it before. Like is not the right word. Who
okay.
will win and who will be the who will be unbeatable in the Republican Party if he goes in, and that's Donald Trump. There are other good candidates. Ron DeSantis would be a great, in my view, a great vice presidential candidate after he wins re-election in the Florida race for governor. And he doesn't have to announce that for 2 years. So that would be a very powerful ticket.
Right.
I think Kristi Noem has recouped herself after passing this gender sports bill in South Dakota. You know, she kind of folded to some of the rhinos and some of the corporate interests a few months ago, but she's done well to step back on that. There's quite a number of very talented people with a lot of, a lot of opportunity right now. Ted Cruz, again, could run and do well. I think there are many, many options on the Republican Party. I don't see that type of popularity. And I mean, trying to look objectively, I just don't see somebody out there. Stacey Abrams is not going to be the presidential nominee for the Democrats in 2024. Hillary Clinton may try to do it, but I think it'll be an ugly race for her because there's just too many things hanging.
Okay.
There's very few people with the notoriety or the popularity that will be able to step in. Of course, you know, things change, but I just don't see that type of momentum. And we're getting into 2022. You have to be well-positioned 2 years in advance to begin the campaign. I mean well-positioned with funders, notoriety, all the different issues. This is just political science.
Right.
And there's actually nobody on the Republican side that will be able to defeat Donald Trump in the primaries. He's got a 90-plus percent approval rating within Republicans. He's getting a tremendous approval rating, well over 60% with independents right now. And Democrats are even coming around because they're so dissatisfied with the country and what the Biden administration is doing.
Uh-huh.
So I tend to think that if he decides to run, he's going to dominate. I think he's helping people in the midterm elections significantly in a number of states. You're going to see a very big swing, more than likely, unless there's absolute unbelievable corruption in our electoral system.
Right.
But many of these Republican legislators have passed bills since last November to take away some of the advantages they had through, you know, mail-in ballot voting and voter boxes. And we're going to see more and more information come out. As with the Russian issue, you're going to see more and more information come out about how the Democrats handled this election, the 2020 election. And that, I think, is going to be really a very disturbing set of facts that people are going to be really dissatisfied with that party.
Yeah, good possibility. Jimmy, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, anything happens this afternoon, we'll be back. Anything doesn't happen this afternoon of any consequence, we'll be back in the morning. Keep the comments coming. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah,